You're listening to Seek Up, the Yoga Inspiration Show, right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. I'm Keena McGregor, your host, world-renowned yoga teacher, author of multiple books, and founder of Om Stars, the world's first online TV channel. Get ready to raise your vibration and dive into the spiritual lessons from the yoga tradition. Even if you've never practiced yoga before, you'll find kernels of wisdom to help make your world a happier and more peaceful place. So let's dive in. Let's seek up and leave with a little dose of inspiration.
Hi, Eden. Thanks so much for joining me on this podcast. Super excited to have you here.
Hi, Keena. I'm super excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So I've been a fan of yours for a while. I stumbled upon your Instagram, your YouTube, and I just love your positive energy, your happiness, your smile that comes across in your teaching and the space that you hold. I often leave, you know, your page or a post that you make feeling like just a little bit of happiness. So I love that.
Thank you so much. That's definitely what I strive to do. I haven't always been in that place, but I think that's a good testament to growth over time and that it's attainable for everybody.
And that's yoga, right?
That's yoga. Yeah.
So how did you get started practicing yoga? And like, what's your story of the inspiration for you to actually get on this path?
Okay, so I started yoga, like most people, for the physical. Back in 2007, I bought a set of DVDs. I'm sure they're not even around anymore, called Yoga Booty Ballet.
I know those. I've seen those.
Okay, yeah. Very old school. So I bought them straight out of high school. I had been in cheerleading, competitive cheerleading for a very long time. And, you know, that's two-a-day practices and a lot of physical workout. And then after high school, I noticed that I was not able to do all of the same things that I could. So I got the Yoga Booty Ballet as a way to kind of tap into that. I decided that it wasn't my thing and I sat it on a shelf and never looked at it again. And then I went on this large pursuit of weight loss and I ended up losing 120 pounds in the matter of 7 months, which is very unhealthy. Usually when I say that, people are like, yes, go girl. And I'm like, and no one should be losing weight at that rate ever. Something's probably wrong if that's happening that quickly.
And so what was wrong? And first of all, for people that aren't familiar, like, why is that unhealthy? And what was wrong? Like, what was unhealthy about that period of your life for you?
Yeah. So weight loss in itself isn't going to make you healthier. It definitely can in some cases, but recommended weight loss by doctors is anywhere from 0.5 pound to 2 pounds at the extreme end per week. So for someone to lose 120 pounds within 6 months means that they're over-restricting or over-exercising or both, which is what I was doing. I was working out two classes at the gym before work, and then an hour on this, like usually Stairmaster elliptical before my classes in the afternoon started, and then doing two back-to-back classes. So that's like 4 to 5 group fitness classes per day, which is excessive. And it's still on my Instagram now. If you scroll way back, there's posts of me being like, I burned more than I ate today. Peace sign emoji. Like, And to me, it felt normal because when people see weight loss, they applaud it and they tell you you're doing such a good job. And it just becomes the norm in society is like, as long as you're losing weight, it's good. It doesn't matter how. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of my trainers, Shannon, telling me I had hit a plateau, as most people do. And she said, maybe you should try yoga. And that was around 2013. So I went to Body Flow, you know, gym yoga, and I did the class. I loved it and hated it at the same time because it was very hard because I was still very large. So stepping through isn't a thing when you have a really big belly. And so it was frustrating in certain ways, but I think everyone feels that when that first Shavasana hits you, something special happens.
Yeah.
So I remember going into the parking lot and feeling like I was going to cry. And I wasn't sure if it was because like I felt like some peace finally because I had been go, 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 or if it was because I was frustrated that I couldn't do all of the things when I had thought that I had reached this like optimal level of fitness because I was working out so much, so many times a day. Mm-hmm. And I think it was both. And I think that's when it was kind of like divine intervention. When your mind's finally still enough, you can hear the things that you've been ignoring. And I think a lot of that, like any big change in life, usually comes from some type of trauma. I had just had a big breakup and then I decided I'm going to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And in order to not like think about any of those things, I just threw myself into workout. So being in yoga was the first time that I was still and that I could like hear God's voice and hear him saying like, okay, something's not working here. Mm-hmm. You need to slow down. So I did. And I like the moment I went back to working out like 3 days a week and eating a normal amount of calories, the weight came back super rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a sustainable way of losing weight.
Right. But what was the feedback? Did you get any feedback about that from the people who were clapping at the massive weight loss? And how did that feel?
I did get feedback. People asking if I was going to start working out again or like what had changed. And it's really hard to explain. Like the more that I went to yoga, like the closer I'm Christian. So the closer I got to God, like the more my mind cleared out. I just started to get this unconditional like wave of love. So even though people were asking me, I was like, yeah, I'm gaining weight, but I'm still feeling really fit and I'm happy. And I hadn't been happy for like a very long time. So I was gaining weight, but my happiness was still there. I was still very active and it was the balance that I definitely thought I needed. So after a while, one of my friends had told me that she had gone to this place called Black Swan, which is where I ended up getting certified. And I went to Black Swan because I was, back then, I think I was a sales admin, not making a lot of money. It was donation based. It was like, it's not a boutique studio. There's no lobby. You go in, there's just mirrors, black lights. And it was just like a very humble feeling place. And I think that's where I finally got the full yoga experience and started going two or three times a week to yoga was at Black Swan. I'd leave work, walk down to Black Swan and do my yoga. And yeah, that's where I kind of fell in love.
I love this idea that, you know, doing yoga brings you closer to God. And I feel that too. You know, I wasn't raised with any religion. And at some moment, I actually had an experience where I met Jesus. And I felt like from that moment, I felt like these moments in my life where I'd felt this fleeting kind of peace sort of got rooted within me. And, you know, again, for me not being raised with any religion, my grandfather's Buddhist, my parents are kind of, you know, agnostic. Secularists, and to have this experience of, you know, overwhelming divinity to come into my life, I am so, so grateful for that. And I feel like this is so much a part of kind of the hidden message of yoga is that whatever is sacred and real, you know, you do the practice, it brings you closer to that. And then that's the happiness.
Exactly. Like
that's the magic. It's not the pose. It's not the shape you make with the body. It's that you're tapping into the eternal, the truth that's out there, which is transcendent of the physical. And then it's like, yes, give me more. Yes, give me more.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have you had anyone question your practice of yoga then and say, you know, yoga's unchristian and you shouldn't be practicing? And, you know, has anyone ever questioned that in you?
All of the time. Mm-hmm. because I'm very openly Christian, and I actually wasn't until I started yoga. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always said I was Christian, but my family's what you describe as like the Easter Christmas Christians. Mm-hmm. That's when we went. But I would hear like my boyfriend's parents talk about the Bible and things like that. And I was like, yeah, I'm Christian, but I couldn't like quote anything out of the Bible. But when I started yoga, it made me pursue my path more. So at first it was hard to combat those questions because I was like, oh, everyone's saying it's evil and I'm praying to, and I'm saluting the sun and that's so bad.
And then there are these weird things you'll find online, like, oh, yoga opens you up to demonic possession. And then you're like, oh.
Exactly. Opening the third eye is like evil and dark. And yoga is rooted in love. The Bible is rooted in love. Nothing could be wrong about practicing love for yourself, for the people around you. Nothing could be bad. And I'm probably not the most eloquent when it comes to speaking to Christianity and yoga, but I did do a lot of research and find Christian yogis in the Christian Yoga Alliance and really took time to delve in to make sure that I wasn't doing anything wrong. But when you read the Gita or you read Light on Yoga or any of these books, they read very much like the Bible, and not in a religious way, just doing the best you can for the greater good.
Yeah. I love that. I really, really love that. What was it like for you when you said in that first yoga class, you said, oh, I could hear God's voice. You know, what was that like? Because there are people listening who are like, I want to hear God's voice too. Like, what does that sound like? And how do I know it's him? And, or, you know, or, and it's not just my own thoughts. And, you know, what is that? Like, what's the experience of that for someone out there that's searching that might want the experience?
So it's going to be different for everyone. So God knows everyone's heart or whatever you believe in. They know your heart. And that's the reason that they're so magnificent is they're all knowing beings. So God knows that I'm not just going to believe some fleeting thought. So I have to be met with that multiple times. So I felt it laying in the class, like, you need to be still, you need to change something. And then in the parking lot, I felt it again, like moved to tears, like what you felt in there was not something that was just come and go. Like you're confronted with it again. And then I think God puts people in your life that will speak to you through them. And then later that week, my dad was like, I think you've been pushing really hard. Cause I had him go to 2 back-to-back workout classes with me. We did a body combat. And then right after that, we went to a spin class. When we got home, that was the weekend after my first yoga class. He sat down with me and he's like, if you're going to 4 of these a day, that's too much. Like, are you okay? So I think that God will find his way to you the way that you need to hear it. So for me, sometimes it's just like in that class, it was like, it almost felt like a hug. And then I had like a little bit of goosebumps. And then in the parking lot, it was tears. And one of my favorite aunts always says that tears are liquid prayers. And then after that, it was a person that I loved telling me the same thing. So it can arrive different for everyone, but it's usually that feeling that doesn't go away or that feeling that keeps you up at night. Like you keep thinking about it on repeat. Those are usually the things that aren't just you.
And the 1, 2, 3, I like that. You know, the 1, 2, 3, when I feel, you know, that God is speaking to me, I'm like, okay, I need it again. You know, give it to me again. Cause I want to be really clear about what is my own thought versus what is truly a message that I'm receiving. So I'm usually like, okay, I need it again. Like if it's three times, one, two, three, by the third one, I'm like, all right, three strikes and I'm out. I know I'm out of the picture.
Exactly. It's so true.
Yeah. So you started practicing. What was your practice journey like? You started going, you know, three times a week, you're at Black Swan, you're finding your yoga home, you're, you know, moving more and more into the yoga world. Like what was that community like for you? And, you know, did you ever move into, you know, practicing, you know, every day? Did it become an obsession? Did it become your community? Like, when did you identify as like, I'm a yogi, you know?
I feel like probably around 2014 or 2015, which is a year after my big yoga class at the gym, that I was like, I'm a yogi. I was going about three times a week, going down to Black Swan, practicing with friends. It was wonderful, but also extremely frustrating. All of their classes there, they have beginner classes, but back when I started, all of the classes were just leveled flow, all levels. And I'd leave at least two out of the three classes being like, that's not all levels. Like, this is not all levels. I don't care what anyone tells me. And just so frustrated that the modification or option or level was always child's pose. That's not helping me grow in my practice.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things. Make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
The station that makes you feel good.
So that was frustrating, even though I had found this place that I loved and I loved that they were affordable. I think being able to like name your own price for your wellness is super empowering in this world because everything is so expensive, especially with like boutique yoga. But I leave happy because I felt like a rubber band because they have the the infrared heaters. You leave just feeling like everything has melted off of you. The teachers were so talented, but I could tell that they hadn't probably seen many bodies like mine before.
So would you, in the style of yoga that I teach, we would never say take child's pose if you can't do this pose. It's always like, you have to work on it. Try this and try that and do this and do that. Is that really a thing that the child's pose is just, okay, if you can't do this, take child's pose?
Yes.
That's a
thing?
So
many studios, and it's not exclusive to Black Swan. I had, you know, done class passes here or there and tried a lot of studios. And it was like, if you're ever tired, take child's pose. If something isn't working for you, take child's pose. And I'm like,
it's like Advil. Take two Advil.
Literally. Or they, at the beginning of class, I think it was also, you know, boutique yoga and just studios in general were starting to pop up all over town. So I think they had a lot of new instructors at the time. Because now I don't experience that quite as much. I do still walk into a class, the teacher will say, grab a set of blocks and then never reference the blocks the rest of the class. And I know what to do with them, so that's fine. But I didn't know what to do with them before. So that was really frustrating. I'm like, I grab these blocks. How do I use them? Like, what do I do? So that's when I kind of found Instagram yoga. I just went into Instagram. Instagram was just kind of starting to become a popular thing. People were merging over from Facebook and Twitter to Instagram. I remember getting rid of my BlackBerry in order to get a phone that could get Instagram, because BlackBerry was Windows. It couldn't have Instagram. So it seems so long ago. But
totally. So imagine like a phone that can't have Instagram. Kind of like,
I know. Exactly. And I just typed in fat yoga. Like, that's it. I didn't type in plus size, anything like that. Just fat yoga. And then I found all of these yogis showing what to do with blocks, how to use them, different levels for poses. And I started practicing at home. And I think maybe that's when I felt like, okay, I'm a yogi. When I could take what I had seen on Instagram and use it in a class to get through in a way that was actually advancing my practice. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when I became a yogi, I think.
You truly made the practice accessible for your own body.
Exactly.
But I just want to pause and talk for a moment about that burden was on you. Like, you had to take that journey. You went into Instagram to find someone that you could identify with, that spoke to representation for you and your body. And then you took it upon yourself to educate yourself and integrate those lessons into your practice. I think there's been a culture change in the world of yoga, but the fact that you've done that, I just want to take a moment and give you, you know, a ton of respect for that, because that makes you a pioneer. That makes you, you know, on the leading edge of movement towards inclusivity in the yoga practice. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. And in classes, I would notice other people. I'm still always the biggest person in a yoga class, but I'd notice people with curvier bodies looking at me to see what I was doing, which is bad because I should be on my mat paying attention to what I'm doing. But I always felt like I was very conscious of the other bodies that were a little bit thicker in the room just to see what they were doing. And a lot of the time they were looking at me. And then eventually I would notice sometimes the instructor would start to say, or you can use your block for this after I grab my block for it. Mm. So I started noticing like instructors watching me as well. And I think I don't think that it's a hateful thing or a neglectful thing. I think that a lot of teacher trainings just don't speak to super plus size bodies. So they don't know. Mm-hmm. It's not a lack of care. It's just a lack of knowledge. And I think that's shifting a lot, and more accessible yoga is being taught now. But 6 years ago, it was a little different than what the yoga community is now.
And how did that make you feel to be in a space where you had to go on it all on your own, really? And there wasn't really any guidance from the people who were instructing the classes. They didn't know how to guide your body to advance your practice. Like, how did that feel?
Honestly, it just lit me on fire because previously I'm a full-time YouTuber now. I've taken times where I go back to work or whatever, but right now I'm a full-time YouTuber. And for years I had done fitness challenges. So it would be me in a group of maybe 10, 15 other plus size women. And we'd send each other these sweaty selfies on Instagram and Snapchat and all of these things. And I was like, okay, I've been leading these groups and drink more water challenges and things. And I was like, maybe I should look into getting certified, because I had seen plus size yoga instructors on Instagram, but none of them were in my area, which frustrated me. I was like, I want to practice with bodies that look like mine. And I think that every city should have a plus size yoga instructor in it. Like the few that are on Instagram across the country aren't enough. So that's when I decided I feel like I've been practicing for long enough. I know my practice isn't perfect, but it's called a practice, not a perfect. So I'm just going to look into going to training.
And I love that. So what training did you go into? How was the teacher training experience? And, you know, what was your first experience like teaching?
So at first I like we said, it comes in threes. So I had applied and got accepted to Wild Heart Yoga here in Austin, Texas. And then I decided that it wasn't the perfect program for me. I really wanted to get certified at a donation-based studio. But I had applied to Black Swan and theirs was full. So I went into Wild Hearts, paid my deposit, then told her, you know, I've decided I'm not going to do it. And then after I did that, Black Swan emailed me and said they opened up a few more spots.
Yeah, awesome.
I got declined for. And it was a long training. I think it was 11-month training. It was Monday nights only. Mm-hmm. I started the training. Something just didn't click for me. I ended up asking to switch to a later date. So I went from the winter training to the spring training, which was my third. And then I ended up getting certified in that training. So it was like a 4-month training, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday type of situation. Super long hours. I have never had such a tired body. But training built my confidence a lot because seeing that thin bodies were just as tired as mine was made me realize, like, I am very fit. I do take care of my body very well. Like, we're all on the same, on an equal playing field, especially after Ashtanga week. All of us were like, just like these bean bags laying on the ground, like everything hurt.
Yeah. I hear you.
So I was like, oh, I'm glad all of them are in just as much pain as I am. So I don't feel like I'm like my body isn't welcome here. But I was the only plus size person in training. I was one of two Black people in training. There were two people in my first training that I went to a few weeks of and decided to move to string in the spring. And then there were two Black people in this training as well. So even though it was an amazing experience, it was just kind of affirmation or confirmation that there's not a lot of representation of larger bodies. In a class of 35, there's one plus size person and two Black people. Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, there were, you know, a few other ethnicities, but overwhelmingly very white classes. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening and you're plus size or you're a person of color, get certified. If you're struggling financially, I was able to pay for mine. There are always GoFundMes. There are always scholarships happening and available through different schools. We need the representation. So I taught my first class in training, and that was amazing. Just being able to lead our class and lead our teachers and then get their feedback was so beautiful. And I absolutely loved that. And then I had actually booked a workshop in LA, and that was my very first class teaching outside of school, which in hindsight, probably don't recommend. More practice would have been better, but it was amazing. I didn't have any complaints. It was a great class. It was probably a little bit too vigorous for the group that I had. But that's the type of school I went to. It's a vinyasa practice, and my teaching style has changed so much. And if I wouldn't have taught that workshop, I wouldn't have began to teach the way that I do. I don't sequence the way that I do at all. Like, being able to witness a big group of larger bodies from the smaller sizes, from like around a 12 up to maybe a size 30, move in a group really taught me so much, just in that first class, on like how I wanted to craft my classes going forward and how many people I wanted to have in class going forward. Cause that workshop sold out. We had to add more spots. And my friend, Jessica, I have a podcast with her, and she'd been teaching maybe 2 years longer than I had. She came and she was really able to walk around and do adjustments and assist. And I went to a school where it was very much, you know, You don't practice while you teach. But I learned with beginners, sometimes you do have to demo way more than you would if you're at a black swan of the world where everyone knows the names of the poses and where to move their body. So I learned so much in that class. And I think my teaching style now is 100% representative of like my experience there.
That first class that you taught, who arranged it? And was it a bigger bodied class or what was that?
I arranged it. I reached out to a studio in LA. I hadn't found many studios that were size, gender inclusive. And I know from personal experience, when I was on my weight loss journey that was really terrible a long time ago, I'm on a new wellness journey and it's much more amazing now. But when I was on that journey, gym intimidation was real. Like walking into a gym, it's just intimidating. Even if people aren't paying attention to you, you feel like they are when you're the biggest person in the room. So I reached out to this gym that it's called Everybody Los Angeles, and they say, we are here for everybody. So it's LGBT friendly. They have trainers that are experienced with trans bodies and bigger bodies. So I reached out to them and said, hey, I'm a new instructor. I haven't taught a lot, but I have taught some on YouTube. I have experience being in front of people. I'd really like to see if I can come and teach a yoga for bigger bodies workshop. And Sam and Lake, the owners, said yes. And I came out, I flew out, I was going to another event in Los Angeles as well, Eat Drink Vegan. And so I went to Eat Drink Vegan and then I did the workshop and it ended up being mostly bigger bodies. About half of the people followed me on YouTube, so they were excited to come out and finally meet me. Then half ended up just being people that were looking for yoga for bigger bodies. Sam had reached out to me afterwards telling me that 90% of the people that signed up weren't members of their gym and they were just looking for yoga for bigger bodies, which we thought was really amazing. And I'm really thankful to Sam and Lake for taking a chance on me, like being a new teacher, but it turned out really wonderful.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So would you talk a little bit about why representation is important? You know, there are some studios where there are no people that are bigger body. There are very few people of color. And there's, you know, this mainstream image of yoga as it's presented in a lot of the, you know, larger Instagram accounts or larger companies. It's this kind of, you know, thin, very tall, very lanky, white, pretzel shaped, you know, beautiful backgrounds, the perfect yoga outfit, and that's there. And then there are spaces, there are studios that everybody looks like that. And you know, so someone might be professing, well, we welcome everyone, but then there's no representation in their body or their community or their imagery. So why is representation important if we really truly want to be, you know, inclusive and welcoming to all?
Representation makes things go from impossible to possible. When you see someone that looks like you moving, it feels possible finally. There were so many times when I would get messages of people saying, I never thought I could do yoga until I saw you doing yoga on Instagram. And I tried the poses that you did. And now I've signed up for a class. And we all know how wonderful yoga is. It's so transformative, mind, body, soul, spirit. And we want people to experience that. But a lot of people really think things aren't available to them. And it's like when my little sister was small, she watched all of the Disney movies, but she was super excited when Princess Tiana came out because there was finally a princess that looked like her. It's like seeing the princess that looks like you finally. And especially in the Black community, there's so much systematically that is wrong with this country. And that comes all the way down to wellness. Wellness, a lot of the times, isn't affordable for people of color, and it isn't accessible to them. And until they see someone like me or Ebony from Yoga in the Hood doing yoga to hip-hop music, that mm-hmm. opens up the door to them to this amazing practice for a wellness that they've never experienced before to reduce their stress levels. Like, stress is like the leading cause of death of African Americans, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, stress leads to different health conditions, and we all know the statistics and facts, but having that available to people of color can help them a lot. So that's why representation is so important, because it's not just a workout. For some people, it is kind of, it's life or death. It's bringing that stress down, and it's making wellness seem like it's not this thing that you see in magazines, but it's you moving at home, you breathing mm-hmm. at home, you drinking enough water every day, and that gives you a longer, healthier life. So it's about life. We need more representation so all of us can live longer lives.
Absolutely. I love that. And I feel like there are two contrasting images that are, you know, that are coming up for me right now. It's like you have this one, you know, mainstream aspirational image of, you know, a wellness retreat in a far exotic location with, like, you know, mushroom fumes being diffused in the room and some very rare flower herb being presented to you on a bed of roses or who knows what else, you know, and you're like, oh, wow. And then, you know, this ultra pampered, some exotified kind of, you know, wellness escape that is super expensive and unattainable and unaffordable, and is really not even inspirational, but it's just aspirational for some people. And then there's a reality, like, as you were explaining, that, you know, this is a tool that can actually save people's lives, particularly people of color who are under constant stress in the United States due to, you know, the social situation that we're in, the culture situation that we're in systemically, that's affecting all of us now. And then the idea that, okay, you can do this practice and you can feel peace where you are right now. And sort of this untold story of that yoga happens in humble rooms where, you know, there's a person teaching, and all of those people have their stories of what they went through, dropping their kids off for childcare, rushing from work, you know, trying to make ends meet. Somebody's an Uber driver, somebody's, you know, different walks of life. Someone maybe doesn't have a job and can only go to that donation studio, and everybody comes in. And then that's where the yoga is primarily happening. It's not happening in these exotified, far-flung locations. If it's going to be positive, it's going to happen in these spaces that are just really people, real people practicing with real world problems. And so I agree with you. I think representation is so important. I some people look at me as like, okay, you fit the mold of the yogi, but I really don't, you know? I mean, when I started practicing, I'm small, I'm 5'2", and everyone, when I started practicing, particularly Ashtanga, were these tall, skinny people. And I remember this feeling of constantly feeling, maybe I'm not right for this practice because I'm not the right size or shape.
Yeah.
You know, and just this overwhelming feeling of maybe I should quit. Maybe there's this doubt. And then, you know, and then now 20 years later, to see so much inclusivity in the practice, it's just like, yeah, we need more inclusion. We need more different people practicing, and we need more accessibility. So I, you know, think that this is the future. On a channel or platform like YouTube, the most popular yoga accounts are still kind of dominated by the standard mainstream, you know, without, you know, being speaking in any, you know, negative sense about that particular, you know, type of the tall, thin, relatively wealthy, potentially traveling, you know, white yoga teacher, female usually. What's it like to be a professional YouTuber that represents this, you know, less represented demographic? And, you know, how did you get started in such a way so that this is able to be a full-time position for you?
So I started YouTube over 10 years ago. So it wasn't like this instant thing. And I still don't make, I'm not a billionaire YouTuber by any means, but I'm able to live comfortably. And it's really rewarding. So my YouTube didn't even start making money until about 4 years ago. So it took about 6 years for me to start making an income from YouTube. And it really just came from sharing my life, being vulnerable with my struggles, sharing food because food is love, just being open. And I have a good niche, right? I think we have to talk about it in a business sense too. It's not just luck. Like, you have to have a niche. I'm Black, I'm plus size, I do yoga. No one does that. I mean, there are people that do it. There's Jessamine, she has videos on YouTube, but they're all just for like magazines. She'll do like one flow for, but there aren't a lot of channels teaching for their channel specifically.
Right.
So that's how I was able to grow, with the vlogging and just showing what a plus size lifestyle is without it being centered in weight loss, but just being centered in wellness and not anti-weight loss by any means. I never want anyone to think that. There are times when people need to lose weight, but that's very personal and that's between you and your wellness staff, and you don't need to, you know, validate your health or wellness to anyone else. That's very personal. So just living my life and being happy. And I think that's contagious for people to just live a life where you choose joy most of the time. And when hard things happen, you learn from them and you are open about that. Like, this thing really sucked, but it didn't happen to me. It happened for me. And this is what I gained out of this thing that was very traumatic for me. And I think that's where my YouTube came from, and being able to teach and have people message me and tell me, like, I cried on my mat because this was the first time I could follow a yoga flow from beginning to end without feeling like my body was wrong or I didn't fit into the pose. And then I get to do the real work, like just letting people know you're not meant to fit into the poses. You make the poses work for you. And it's a practice. That's why it's called yoga practice, because you're never going to be perfect at it. And your poses are going to vary from day to day. And it's about having that grace for yourself. So for me, it's just incredibly rewarding. And I'm really lucky to be able to do what I do. I'm super grateful. So,
What tips do you have for someone that is interested in starting a YouTube channel? I mean, you already said one thing, you know, find a niche and find a message. It took you a long time before it was profitable. So this is another kind of message we can draw from your experience, is it's the long game. It's not a short game. But what other advice do you have that someone that's out there that says, well, I want to post yoga videos on YouTube and have that be my main income too? What advice do you have for them?
Get out of your own way. We have so many excuses for what we need and what we need to improve on, et cetera, before you start. You have everything you need. If you're listening to this, it's probably on an iPhone and it has a good enough rear-facing camera for you to start now. Order a $10 tripod on Amazon and press the button and you can edit it all on your phone. That's not the way I do it now, but a long time ago, I used a free editor and I use this old camcorder that I got for $30 and you don't need all of this stuff. So just start. And the reason I say just start is because The reality is, unless you already have a following, no one's going to watch your videos for a while. So in that time, you start to get more comfortable in front of the camera and you start to find your true voice, because when we first start recording, we're almost playing a role. You turn on for the camera, you aren't you, but the longer that you record, the more authentic your content becomes. So by the time your wave starts to catch up with you, which are your viewers, you're already who they are going to get for the rest of the time that they follow you on your channel. So starting now and starting with what you have are the most important things.
I love that. I think that's super important. I talk to so many people that's, oh, I'd love to make videos, but I don't have the equipment and I don't know how to edit. And they're holding an iPhone in their hands.
Exactly.
You know? And I'm like, oh, but I don't have a microphone. And they've got their you know, their AirPods in their ears. And I'm like, those things have a microphone. Mm-hmm. You know, just go over there and start, you know, press record, see how it goes and share it. And then just like yoga, then people get really depressed right away. Oh, nobody watched my video. I'm a failure. I'm like, you're not a failure. You put one video out. Of course, exactly. You watched it. You need to put like 1,000 of them out. And then maybe, you know, it would be something that people would want to watch, you know, over a period of time to build the audience. Mm-hmm. It's like practice. It's a cumulative thing that's going to take a, you know, a good amount of time.
Yeah.
So I have another question for you, for the yoga teachers and or studio owners that are listening now, who are going to have bigger bodied students in their class. What are some things that you would like them to know just about how they should ideally interact with a bigger bodied student, or some things that you wish the teachers knew about you when you were in class?
Yes. So the first thing is, don't make assumptions. There are so many times when people would assume that I couldn't do something during the flow, and then I go into the pose and then I get a yes, Eden. Like, because you can tell that they're surprised. Don't assume that someone can't do anything. Plus size bodies come at a variety of fitness levels. So just make sure that your training programs are individual. Something that I wish my training would have had that I've seen worked into a lot of training is mentorship throughout. And that way, not even just your plus size students, you don't know what your students want to go out and teach. I remember one of my teachers said, raise your hand if you want to go to a boutique studio and teach only thin white women. No one raised their hand because you don't know what people want to teach. People might want to teach kids yoga. They may want to teach bigger bodies. They may want to teach chair yoga, but you still have to get a 200-hour certification. So maybe during your enrollment, ask people what they want to teach and then personalize their training. It seems like it would take a lot, but you really can do it, especially if you have a teacher training team of a few people, where you pair up like a group of students with instructors so that they can personalize their training so that when they head out the door, they're a little bit more set up for success. And also, if you aren't super familiar with plus size bodies, ask one of your students that's plus size, hey, would you like to do a private with me for free where I can ask you some questions? Because a lot of people don't have the experience with the bigger bodies. If bigger bodies aren't showing up in your studio, I mean, yes, you can do some research on Instagram and things like that, but it's so helpful. I remember at my gym, all of the yoga teachers got together and I just demoed everything they'd ever wanted to ask, because they don't have the opportunity to do that in class. So that might be something that you look into.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Yeah. Do you have any plans to do a plus-sized yoga teacher training in the future?
No, I don't, because I think there are people out there like Amber Carnes and Diane Bondi that are doing a fantastic job.
They're doing wonderful. But maybe not in Austin.
Not in Austin. And I would like to pop in on some yoga teacher trainings for that specifically. Maybe just even a module.
Uh-huh. A module.
With a plus size person would be really nice, because I like a nice intermediate or pretty vigorous vinyasa. So that's the one, I think, flaw I have in my YouTube. I don't have enough like super beginner friendly because I tend to teach what I like to practice. But
yeah, we all do.
I know.
Yeah.
Which is why we shouldn't compare ourselves to people, even if their bodies are super similar. So many people are like, oh, I can't do this thing that you can do. And it's like, well, I've been practicing for a long time. And if you practice, you may get there, but you may not because I'm naturally very flexible.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
some of us just have natural things that
flexibility, strength,
exactly, yeah. our anatomy. You know, it's totally different for everyone. So comparison is it, oh my goodness, is the thief of joy. Sorry, there's a deer that just popped up right in front of me.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, my husband has just popped up in front of my window. So I have a deer, I have a husband.
Wow.
That's so beautiful. It's a blessing.
Nature.
Yeah, such a blessing. So everyone who is listening now, I encourage you to go follow Eden on YouTube. So would you share your YouTube channel with everyone?
Yes. If you just type into the YouTube search bar, Eden Loves Life, and it's E-D-Y-N, I will pop up in a bunch of lifestyle videos, body positivity videos, and yoga playlists will be there for your endless enjoyment.
Hey there, it's Kino here. I just wanted to take a moment and thank you for tuning in to my show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Your support really means the world to me. I'm inspired by the fact that you're inspired and that you tune in each week and keep the inspiration to get on your mat and keep practicing and make the world a happier and more peaceful place. Remember, you can always practice with me on omstars.com. That's www.omstars.com. If you're inspired to read my books, you can check those out on any available online bookseller. Just search for my name, Kino McGregor. And my newest book called Get Your Yoga On is perfect for beginners. You can check that out. Otherwise, stay tuned and I'll see you next week.